Talk about the invisible prison, and we're going to define what that is today. Even after the Lord gave me this message and put it down on the slides and everything, the Lord really opened my eyes up to something this week. As I was reading the word, we're going to talk about it today, is that if you've been attending here for some time, you know we preach love like crazy here, and not love without the kind of love that's taught in the world today, but the type of love that Jesus offers us and everything that comes with it. And we kind of talk about how love is the skeleton key that opens up all the doors. What the Lord showed me this week is there is the opposite of that that opens up the doors for all kinds of evil to come in, and is also this invisible prison. And what that is, I won't like wait to get to the end like it's a movie and you have to wait to see what the invisible prison is. The invisible prison is self. Self-interest, self-motivation, selfishness is the complete opposite of love, because the Bible says that love does not seek its own. We've talked about in here, and I had a couple people, and I know that this was totally the Holy Spirit, because I had a couple people come up and say this made so much sense when I shared last week about the idea that we are to be love to everyone. We are to become love, become light, because that's what it says. God is the Father of lights. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Jesus said he was the light of the world. We're supposed to be salt. We're supposed to be all these things. But one of the things that people, I think, get confused of, and we shared last week, and again, I had a couple people come up and say, man, that made so much sense to me, is that we are called to be love. It does not mean that we are called to be in fellowship and intimacy with every person on the planet. Okay? Because if Jesus tells us to love our enemies, it's pretty difficult to be in intimacy and relationship with your enemy. So we are to love people in the midst of how they're treating us. It's not an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. It's do not repay evil with evil, but repay evil with good. And so this invisible prison that many, 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 many people are in and they don't even know it is self. And if you trace back every kind of sin that's going on, the Bible talks about flesh, the Bible talks about and it gives a whole list in Galatians chapter 5, is it all goes back to self. Even offense, if you think about it. Well, that person offended me. Well, don't be offended, because offense is all about you. Can you imagine if we responded, or excuse me, if Jesus responded the way that we do today as Christians? You know, like if he's done ministering and he walks up to the disciples, they're like, man, Jesus, that was awesome. He's like, yeah, but that one guy, he was just looking at me wrong. I was so offended. And you know, the last crowd I was at, they picked up stones to stone me. I mean, what is wrong with these people? I have to die for these people? Could you imagine? Like, and we could just sit here and go, man, Jesus would never be like that, because he is love. And did you know that we've talked about so many times in here, the standard is Jesus Christ. The standard isn't, well, Jesus is up here, I can never be like that, so I'm going to aim for somewhere around here. The Bible says to walk in the light as he is in the light. The Bible says that we are to walk in the same way that Jesus walked. That's the standard. And the thing that keeps us from doing that is self. Right? I don't want to. Who cares what you want? When you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you died. And it says your life, and we're going to see this verse today, your life is now hidden with Christ. The problem in the gospel that's being preached is we preach this gospel of come to Jesus and get your needs met. come to Jesus and get blessed. Come to Jesus for this. And I'm not saying that there's not blessing. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. But God knows your heart motivation. When you came to Christ, you were supposed to die and become a new creation, a new creature. But again, that's not preached a lot. So it's, you don't want to go to hell, so come and get saved. And I'll be the first to put my hand up. I don't want to go to hell either. Okay, so that's part of it. But the other thing is, Jesus said, if you want to follow me, right? Because we learned last week in Matthew 28, the Great Commission is, go out onto all the world and not make converts, make disciples. And disciples are one that follows after one another. When Jesus said, come and follow me, he was asking them to be my disciple. And Jesus himself said, if you want to follow me, you must deny self. Pick up your cross and follow me. So if you want to be a follower of Jesus, it's got nothing to do with your wants and needs anymore. And that may seem depressing, but I'm telling you, it's a prison. Because when you're in self, you feel like you're white-knuckling everything, right? Like, something happens and you're like, man, I just wish I didn't get angry so much. I got to just try harder. I got to pray more so I be less angry. No, the problem is you're probably angry because it's your response to a situation and you think you have the right to be angry. See, self is so a part of us, we don't even realize many times that we're doing it. That's why it's an invisible prison. That's why Jesus doesn't say, when you come to me and you receive me and I set you free and I save you and I wash you white as snow, now just try really hard. Try to overcome your flesh. He doesn't say that at all. The Bible says over and over and over and over, you must die. Now, if you're hearing me say, are you talking about suicide? No, I'm not. I'm talking about your wants, your needs, your desires. Jesus said, everything that I say is what my Father's telling me to say. Everything I do is what my Father's telling me to do. Jesus was completely free of self. He did nothing on his own. He says, everything that you see me do, that you hear me say, it's the Father. So let's jump right into this. Let's go to Galatians 2, 19 through 20. It's in your notes on the app if you have it. It's going to be on the screen. But there are going to be some scriptures today that we're going to be reading out of the New American Standard Bible. This is the Greek. So you want to make sure that you have your Bibles, because after this one, we're going to actually be, like I said, going to the NASB, and it's not in your notes and on the screen because there would be a lot of slides. Okay, so let's start Galatians 2, verses 19. For through the law, I died to the law. Everybody say, I died to the law. What's the law? The 613 commandments in the Old Testament, and including the Big Ten. For through the law, I died to the law. So there's a reason that we die to the law, so that I will, what? Live to God. So people that are trying to mix law and grace, it doesn't work. And Jesus gave examples of that. You cannot put new wine into old wineskins. You cannot sew a new patch onto an old garment. And so many times in the body of Christ, we have people that are trying to balance the law with the new covenant. And that's wrong. This says, through the law, I died to the law. So the law was meant to bring us to the end of ourselves. It was never meant to train us. And we know that once the new covenant comes, that Paul, and again, if you're like, this is all really new, you need to read the Pauline epistles. 85% of what Paul's talking about is always law versus grace. It's always that. And he's doing that because you have a whole group of people, Jews, that are converting to Christianity, but they're also trying to keep the law. And it's interesting to me today, we've said this many times in here, that people try to put people under law today, which unless you're 100% Jewish, you were never under the law to begin with. You were grafted in. We were the wild olive tree. We were the crazy, not God-chosen people. You have to understand that there was a point when Jesus came that you were, the Bible says, broken off of the wild olive tree and grafted in to the cultivated tree. And the Jewish people are the cultivated olive tree. And it says, you Gentiles don't get high-minded because even though you might say branches were broken off the cultivated olive tree so that I may be grafted in, he says, listen, Jesus is able to graft them in again. It's a beautiful picture. And so now we live in the day that there is neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, Scythian or Cree. We are one in Christ. And that's talking about in the Spirit. So the purpose of the law, it says, the law came so that you would die to it because you realize I can't keep it. And if you're like, well, I've kept a lot of it, but I've offended in some areas, the Bible says if you've offended in one area, you've broken the entire thing. It is impossible to keep. But yet today, we have people that are trying to resurrect the law. Now, the law, the Bible says the law is good if it's used lawfully. So if somebody says, well, I'm a pretty good person, right? I haven't killed anybody. I haven't stolen anything or done this. And you're like, well, you ever looked at somebody with lust? Oh, yeah, I've done that. Jesus says it's the same thing as adultery. And so the law, again, is designed to bring you to the end of yourself to say that all of your righteousness is of filthy rags. Not your sin is filthy rags, your righteousness. You cannot be right before God without Jesus Christ. So that's what this is talking about. Through the law, I died to the law so that I will live to God. So the purpose of dying to the law isn't going, great, I died to the law, now I can go out and sin like crazy. You've missed the purpose of dying to the law. The Bible says that we die to the law so that we will live to God. I have been, this is Paul writing to the Galatians. I have been, past tense, crucified with Christ. Now, you understand that Paul was not hanging on a cross next to Jesus when he was crucified, right? Paul, at that time, was Saul. And he was a persecutor of the church. So when he says, I was crucified with Christ, we're talking about something spiritual that happened. But let me inform you, brothers and sisters, the spiritual is always greater than the natural. So he says, I have been crucified with Christ. No longer I live. So Paul himself is saying, I died to the law. And if you understand anything about Paul, the Bible says that he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He would be like a teacher at a doctorate of divinity school. Like he was top notch. It said he studied under Gamaliel, which was a top notch Pharisee. Like he was high up. And then he talks about later, he counts it all as nothing for the sake of Christ. So this is a guy that taught the law all the time. He knew the law inside and out. But he says, I died to the law. I no longer live. I, Paul, no longer live. Rather, Christ lives in me. Christ cannot live through you until you die to self. Because every time self tries to assert itself, Christ cannot. That's why we talk about letting him flow through you. And when we talk about radically loving people, people are like, how are you doing this? Like, this seems so weird. Like people don't act like this. And you're like, oh, don't misunderstand. It's not me. It's Jesus. Because then he gets all the glory. So he says, it's not me. I'm not living. Rather, Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh. So Paul is acknowledging that he does have a body and he moves and it's flesh. But he says, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up to me. So Paul says, this transformation has happened because I know that he loves me and gave himself up for me. If we try to preach anything else than for God so loved the world that he gave, and we turn it into formulas, we turn it into knowledge and all of these things, and we move away from love, that's dangerous. The Bible talks about in the last days that the love of the majority will grow cold. And he's not talking about the world, he's talking about Christians. Because we don't have any expectation of love from the world because they can't know real love because God is love. And so if you don't know God, you don't know love. You may think you have an idea of love or a taste of love or even worse, a perversion of love. But you, if you do not know God, you do not know love. So he says, I live this way. I died to self. It's no longer me, Paul, but it's Christ in me. And I did all of this because he loved me and gave himself up for me. True transformation of a person is coming into the knowledge of the love of God. We may talk about it next week. I don't know yet. I still got notes written down. But I love the scripture in Ephesians 3 when it talks about to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. I believe, brothers and sisters, if that's Paul writing to the church in Ephesus that he's talking about, if you can be rooted and grounded in love and stay in that place, you can move into a place where you truly know the love of God. And it moves you into a place that surpasses knowledge. That doesn't mean that you don't have a brain. That doesn't mean that you don't read scripture. That doesn't mean any of that. But I'm saying this love moves beyond knowledge. And I want us to get there. All right, let's go on. Let's go to Romans. Again, these aren't going to be up here. You're going to have to actually turn it on your YouVersion app or your physical Bible. But let's go to Romans 7. So remember, we're talking about this invisible prison. We're talking about dying to self. Romans 7, starting at verse 1. Do you not know, brethren? And it says, for I'm speaking to those who know the law. This is Paul writing to the church in Rome. That the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives. Very important. For the married woman is bound by law to her husband while he is living. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law concerning the husband. So then, if while her husband is living, she is joined to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is not an adulteress, though she is joined to another man. So before we go on, Paul's just giving a just a basic example of something that is in the law. Like this was in the law of Moses. Now he's going to link it. Verse 4, therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law. There it is again, dying to the law. You brethren, were made to die to the law through the body of Jesus Christ. So again, it doesn't make sense. If I am going to die to the law through Jesus Christ, then why would I say, okay, I got saved, I got born again, I died to the law through Jesus Christ. Now we got to, you know, keep the big Ten Commandments. That's nowhere in Scripture. How can I die to something and then resurrect it? Now, people will always say to me, are you against the Ten Commandments? I'm like, no, but that is the law. The new commandment is love others the exact same way Jesus loved you. Now, do you understand if you're loving others the exact same way Jesus loved you, you will fulfill the law. You will complete the commandments. Jesus himself said, if I had to sum up the entire law and the prophets, it's love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law and the prophets hang on this. But then in the new covenant, it's a new commandment I give to you, love others as I have loved you. Jesus set the example. If you're wondering, am I loving others the way that Jesus loved me? Read the Gospels. All Jesus did when he was here was serve other people. He healed people. He drove demons out of people. He multiplied food for people. He taught people how to rest. Come unto me, you are weary and heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and meek. I will give you rest. He was the Savior. And then ultimately, after all he did was love on us for 3.5 years of ministry, then he died for us and took away the sin and gave us salvation. So Jesus is the example of being completely dead to self. He did nothing of his own but what the Father told him. So, brethren, you were made to die to the law through the body of Jesus Christ. And just like what we saw in Galatians, he says that you were made to die to the law so that you will now live unto God. He says something similar here. He says that you might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit to God. So there it is again, serving God, bearing fruit to God, doing the will of God. For while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions, which were by the law, were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit unto death. But now, everybody say, but now. We have been released, that word can be rescued or ransomed in the Greek, from the law, having died to that which is the law by which we were bound. It says that we were bound in the law. Now, we could spend a lot of time talking about the law. The Bible says that the law was holy, the law was good, but the problem was our flesh. That's why we were bound by the law. But now we have been released, rescued, or ransomed from the law, having died to that by which we were bound. And he says, why? So that we will serve in newness of the spirit and not in oldness of the letter. What's oldness of the letter? The law. I bring this scripture up all the time. I'm still waiting for somebody that thinks that we should still keep the law today should explain it to me. But in Hebrews 8, it says, when he says a new covenant, he has made the old obsolete. That which is obsolete is ready to vanish away. And that was penned close to 2,000 years ago. And yet we're still trying to resurrect the law. Okay, Colossians 3. Colossians 3, starting at 1, we're going to do 5 verses here. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated. Seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. And again, this is talking about dying to self, because how many were like, well, I got to think about this. I got to do this. I got to do this. Me, 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 me. I. Set your mind on things above. For you have died. There it is again. For you have, past tense, died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, talking about when he returns in the second coming, then you will also be revealed. The Bible says that when we see Jesus, instantaneously we will become as he is. So you can't even really see your life. I'm telling you that if you're in Christ, your light and your love and the inside of you is just emanating all of this light, and you're perfect in your spirit, you're righteous in your spirit, you're holy in your spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit. So I could describe, even though I've never seen it, everything of who you really are in Christ on the inside of you. I can describe it even though I haven't seen it, because the Word describes it. But one day when he returns and we lock eyes with him, we will instantaneously, as we behold him, then everything that is mortal will be shed, and we will finally see what our life is. I love the way that Colossians words this. It says that our true life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ is revealed, that word is unveiled, then you also will be revealed or unveiled with him in glory. So he's talking again about the Bible, and again, a lot of the writings of Paul all talk about who you are in Christ, what you already have. It seems like so many people are trying to get more righteous, get more holy, get more this. I got to pray more. I got to read the Bible more. And all of those things are really great, praying and reading, right? Because you're communicating with the Father. He's telling you how much he loves you. You're reading his word. You should know his love letters that he has written to you. It's important to know all of those things. But see, if your motivation is, I must do all of those things to make myself more righteous, to make myself more holy, that's the wrong motivation. You are as righteous and holy in your spirit as you ever will be. And if you don't think that, you are in some kind of weird self-righteousness works mentality, which is wrong. Your fruit, your abiding in the vine, your good works, the will of God, that all flows out of who you are in Christ. It's not, I must do this, and I hope God's paying attention to see how awesome I am. He already thinks you're awesome. Come on, parents. You know that your kid is as awesome as they're ever going to get, even if they are the lead three-point shooter on the basketball team, or the fastest kid on the track team, or the most musical person that you've ever heard. You think your kid's awesome even if they could do none of that. And God is the same way, but on a whole different level. So we live out of a place of knowing who we are. But see, we're in this, our mind has to be renewed because we're in this old mentality. I mean, you would never look at a horse and go, I don't understand why that horse is just galloping around the field. I don't know why it's got its head bent over and eating grass. I don't know why it's going, whirr. I don't understand this horse. People would be like, are you crazy? That's what a horse does. If you are in Christ and Christ is in you, then this whole idea of like, well, I need to try to be like Christ. No. In your spirit, you already are. Just live out of identity. But you got to die to self, because self and flesh, the Bible says in Galatians 5 that it says that flesh is the enemy of spirit. And it says what the spirit wants, the flesh doesn't want, and what the flesh wants, the spirit doesn't want. It says they're at war. They're at war with each other. And it literally says, you know, most people don't like this because this is like the whole obedience thing, is it says that the spirit does the opposite of the flesh, so you won't do what you want to. And with this generation come up, what do you mean? You can't tell me I can't do what I want. I can do whatever I want. I'm an American. I'm free. When you're in Christ, you don't get to do what you want anymore. And if that makes you mad, that's your flesh crying out. What do you mean I can't do what I want to do? I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Don't get mad at me. Take it up with him. I'm pretty sure he's right. Okay, so it says, knowing all of this, again, all of Paul's letters, who you are in Christ, what you have. Ephesians chapter 1 has a whole list until you get up to verse 16 of what you have, who you are, that you're a joint heir with Jesus, you're an heir, you have all of the spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And then it says that Paul prays that we would have open the eyes of our heart to understand what we already have. So Paul's already telling you what you have, and he just told you this in Colossians, and look what he says in verse 5. Therefore, now, my version says, consider the members of your earthly body. It's not consider. It's therefore necrosite, which means mortify, put to death. Therefore, put to death. Immorality, impurity, passions, evil desires, greed, which all amounts to idolatry. And that's confusing to people because they were like, well, but in America, we don't really have idols that we worship. Listen, this is talking about, it gave you the list, immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed, which all amount to idolatry. So what is it saying? Today, the greatest idol that there is in this life, which also happens to be the invisible prison, is self. That's the idolatry today. Now, do some pagan cultures still worship idols and that? Yeah, I'm not taking away from anything out. But I'm telling you, in American culture, let's bring it home, right? I'm not in another country. Let's bring it home. Idolatry today is self. And self is the root, so everything just comes out of that. And see, we're so busy looking at the branches and the leaves and stuff and going, I can't figure this out. How did this branch get here? How did this leaf get here? And going, the root is self. If you pull out the root of self, you won't have those branches and leaves. And on the opposite end, the good tree that you plant is love. It says being rooted and grounded, firm foundation in love. And then all of the branches and the leaves and the fruit all springs out of love. Let's go to the next verse. Romans 12, familiar verse, verses 1 and 2. Oops, I opened up the wrong, there we go. Okay, here we go, Romans 12, 1 through 2. Because, this is in the Greek, because of God's compassion and grace toward you. This is, again, Paul writing to the Romans, or to the church in Rome. Because of God's compassion and grace toward you, I urge you all to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God. I love how this is worded in the Greek. This service to the Lord is reasonable. You know, we think the pinnacle of being the greatest Christian on the planet is if we could be a daily living sacrifice. This is saying this should be normal Christianity. And he says, this service to the Lord is reasonable. Why? Because if you read in Romans, Paul again tells you all the things that Jesus did for you, how he died for you, how he was crucified, what he has given you, who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ. He is in you and you are in him. And he's saying, because of all of that, and that all happened because of his compassion, his mercy, his will, and all you had to do was believe it. And he's saying, in light of all of that stuff, your reasonable response is be dead to yourself and being a living sacrifice every single day of your life. This is a reasonable, it's literally the word in the Greek, logikos, which is where we get our word logic. It is your logical response to everything that Jesus has done for you, is to literally die, be dead daily, and just serve him. That's the reasonable response. And then he goes on to say, do not conform to the systems of this world, rather be transformed. And that word in the Greek is metamorpho, which is just like when a caterpillar transforms into a butterfly. Do not be conformed to the systems of this world, rather be transformed through renovation and renewal of your mind. It's important that you understand renovation is part of renewal. Any of you, I've never done this. I've seen other people, they've done this. When you get new cabinets, what do you got to do with the old ones? Take them out. Many of us need to get stuff out of our mind so that we can bring in the new. Many of us know that, and I know I cringe when I do this, but, it helps relate with culture. Star Wars, Yoda said it right when he said, "You must unlearn what you have learned." He stole that from the Bible. Most of Star Wars is stolen from the Bible, except the lightsabers and a galaxy far, far away kind of thing. But I'm telling you all the wisdom in it, it's mostly stolen from the Bible. So you have to be transformed. You need to have renewal and renovation. And it says so that. So I love that, Paul, we have all these things. Do this so that. Therefore, so that. And he gives a reason for it. We need to become a living sacrifice. We need to renew our minds for what Christ has done to us so that we can be transformed, so that you may prove God's good, well-pleasing, complete, and perfect will. Well, how do I prove that? Through mind renewal. Because once your mind understands who you are in Christ, your job in the earth, and not really your job, it's your whole purpose in the earth, is to be dead to self, alive to Christ, be love and light and salt to people. When we do that, and people are like, "Those Christians are nuts. All they do is love people. They're salt and light to people. They have this truth, which is just mind-blowing. They have this peace about them that passes understanding. They have all of this fruit. These Christians are crazy. I don't understand it." What we're doing when we live that way are we are proving God's well-pleasing, complete, and perfect will. Think of it this way. You may be the only Jesus anybody meets in this world. And I'm not talking about you are Jesus Christ. I'm talking about his identity in you and through you. Paul said it himself. "I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." We are supposed to be Christ in the earth. My goodness, we have t-shirts that say it. 1 John 4:17, as he is, meaning as he is, and it's 1 John 4:17, so he's talking about as he is in heaven at the right hand of the Father, as he is, so are we in this world. That's the whole point. We're supposed to be living out Christ. Look, I finally got my bracelet. What would Jesus do? That's the gospel. What would Jesus do? You get saved, you get born again, you get your sins forgiven. Well, what do I do now, Pastor? You live like Jesus. Well, I don't know how Jesus lived. That's why you get in the Word and read the Gospels. Well, how did other people interpret that they were supposed to be like Jesus? Read the book of Acts. There was no diluting, there was no dilution between Jesus and the way that the first century church lived. They were still doing miracles. They were still raising the dead. They were still cleansing lepers. Man, Peter's shadow crossed over people and people got healed. That's crazy. They were taking articles of Paul's clothing, handkerchiefs and aprons, and they were throwing them on people and people getting well. They weren't checking their faith. "Do you have enough faith for this?" They were just like, "Man, Paul's got an anointing on him. Let's get some of his clothes and throw it on the sick person over here." There was no prayer given. And I'm not saying that we don't pray for people, but I'm saying we need to stop creating formulas. Just read the Word and go, wow, God wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. But we get into this weird place where we have to pray if it be God's will, and if it doesn't happen, then it wasn't God's will, and God just moves and we don't understand it. The commandment in the scriptures is for us to be Christ in the earth, to us to bring the gospel into the earth, to us to bring the kingdom of heaven into the earth. The first century apostles understood this, and then over time it got diluted. And weird doctrines like cessationism came in, which is nowhere in Scripture. That all that stuff just died with the first century apostles. I'm like, that's interesting, because I have 2,000 years of church history that says otherwise. We need to be bold. Okay, last one. James 3, starting at verse 14. Remember to stay focused on this invisible prison that we want to get out of. And you get out by dying. Die to self. This is when I had said earlier that love, if love is the root of all the great things of what God wants to do in your life, a love that surpasses knowledge. And when I said that self is the other tree and the root of self produces all kinds of bad things, here's your scripture to go with that. This is James chapter 3, starting at verse 14. This is in the Greek. If you have bitter jealousy and, look at this word, self-interest in your heart, do not be arrogant and lie against the truth. And then this, I put this in parentheses, this is my added thing. These are opposite of the kingdom spirit or Jesus, right? Bitter jealousy, self-interest. Look what James says. This wisdom is not coming from above, which we were told in Colossians to stay our mind on things above. You've even got entire ministries today that are trying to mix worldly thinking, worldly wisdom with spiritual. This wisdom is not from above, but is earthly, soulish, or that can be also translated unspiritual, and the last one is it's demonic. Self-interest and jealousy are demonic. So it says words, jealousy and self-interest exist. There is disorder, instability, and look at this, every evil thing. So many times in our life, when things are not going right, which, by the way, Jesus says, in this life you will have trouble, tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you make you immune to circumstances. It's how will you handle the circumstance when it comes against you. But many people think like, oh, I'm attacked. I'm under attack by the enemy. This is happening. This is happening. This is happening. And they can't figure out. I would encourage you to drop to your knees at that moment and find out if self is involved anywhere in the situation. If love is the landing strip and the power and the glory of the Holy Spirit, then self is the landing strip for demonic stuff. Right? Jealousy, self-interest, where those things exist, where self exists, self-interest exists, self-seeking exists, there's disorder, instability, and every evil thing. So that's why it's a prison. Do you understand, just also on the simplicity level, that it's a prison? Do you understand if you were free from self? You can go ahead and put the picture slide up there. If you were free from yourself, you would be free from people. Let me say that again. If you were free from yourself, you would be free from people. You wouldn't care what that person thinks of you or that person said about you. Who cares? Why do you care what other people think? But do you know why you care what other people think? Self. That's why you care, because now my feelings are hurt. You know, now they said this about my hair, so now I need to go look in the mirror and figure out what I can change about this because of this person's opinion over here. Or somebody said something mean to me about my weight, so now all of a sudden I'm hurt and I got to figure out how to diet or all of these other kinds of things. That's all self-motivation. God loves you exactly the way that you are. You want to improve and have good health, that's great. But we need to stop being moved and driven and pushed by self, by what other people think. You know, there might be some of you sitting here right now that are like, I don't really like this preaching message. I don't really care. Some of you are like, well, if you don't care, I'm going to leave. And I'm going to be like, bless you, brother. Bless you, sister. I don't care. Because we are here to be salt and light and love to people. And like Carter said earlier, what he's going to give these kids is the truth. We need the truth. We need to stop watering down scripture. We need to tell people the truth. And if the truth is offensive to them and they get offended, guess why they're offended? Because they're so self-involved. Jesus is the opposite of self. Love is the opposite of self. Jesus defined love. He says, greater love is this is the peak. The greatest form of love is to lay down one's life for the brethren. And Jesus lived that. And so that's what it is. If you want to move into this place of light and love and a love that surpasses knowledge, you can't get there without dying to this first. Many people are trying to get to love, but still holding on to self. We have to die to self. You saw all those scriptures. That was just a handful. There's so many more. The first century apostles, they understood that. They died to themselves and they lived Christ through them. They lived Christ through him through healing. They lived Christ through him through miracles. They also lived Christ through him through love and grace and mercy and compassion. But you got to get out of this prison first. But how do I get out? You die. You die to self and live to Christ.